Alrighty then. So, I have a confession to make. It's true, I have a confession. It actually comes with two shockers. So hold on. The first one is not as big of a shock as the second, but we'll get there. So the first confession, the first thing is to let you know that I, Drew Brom, am a band geek. It's true, I am. Behold my gloriousness. There you go. Yep, I am a band geek. Was in band from sixth grade on. Please make note of the hat that is trying to eat my head. That's what really takes it over the edge for the geeky factor. So you make note of that. But yeah, I was in band sixth grade, the graduation of high school. Marched from eighth grade up to senior year. And I was huge into band. Now here's the one where you're going to have to hold on to your seats. My high school did not have a football team. As a matter of fact, the big joke was the last time the football team played was in 1983, so we've been undefeated since then. So the natural question that for you guys in this area should be, the next question should be, well, why are you marching if you don't have a football team? Well, the answer is as simple as this. We march for glory. Why are you laughing? We march for glory. We march for honor. And because band is a huge, huge thing in Indiana, just under basketball. So Indiana has basketball, and they have band. They have their own school association, the ISSMA, Indiana State School Music Association. It's in part of all of the schools in Indiana. The ISSMA makes a big deal out of band. They even have state competitions for marching. They have state competitions just for playing concert band. They have all of this, and they make it a big deal. To even, like, the state competitions, well, at the time, for me, was in the RCA Dome, and now they do it in Lucas Oil Stadium. Like, they have these big competitions for these things. And in the 31 years that ISSMA has existed, Scottsburg High School was in the top 10 of our class 26 of the 31 times. Even in 1989, winning it, first place. Number one band in our class in the state of Indiana. I was one at the time, but I heard it was a big deal. In my years of marching band, we were always in the top 10. We didn't miss a year of top 10 in my years of marching band. Even my freshman year, we even got into the top 5. So it was really cool. So I'm a big part of band. Band is a big part of my life. I love band. Even now, like, all the music I listen to, if you ride in a car with me, is going to be like orchestra score, movie score music. I know that's a surprise with the movie scores, but it's there. So band is a big thing. And Scottsburg, the Scottsburg Band of Warriors, were really, really good. We were really good because we practiced all the stinking time. You did not have a lot of free time. School would let out at the end of May and give it about 2 weeks, and you had a week of marching practice. For freshman marching, you're teaching the freshman how to march, but everyone had to be there, so you have a week of practice. And then every week after that is a Tuesday-Thursday practice from 6 to 8:30. So that was every Tuesday and Thursday night through the summer up until the last week of July. Because you had to leave and go to band camp, which we actually had to travel 4 hours north to go to our band camp, where we practiced pretty much sunrise to sunset for 5 days straight. After we got back, we went back to the Tuesday-Thursday practices from 6 to 8:30, and then we even included Saturday practices from 8 to 4:30, and that was every week until about the end of August, whenever we would do our first competition. And even in our competitions, we would practice before the competition. Oh, I forgot to miss. I skipped this. During our school time, when we had our band period, we were out marching. So that's included in there too. But before a contest, we would actually have to practice marching before the contest, which was a lot of fun, because if you had a contest at 10 a.m., you were on the field marching at 5. Drew Brom at 5 o'clock is not a fun person. Like, Drew Brom doesn't even know 5 a.m. exists, you know. And so we had part of that. So we practiced, and we would do that up until the state finals competition. And I remember, for every practice, we spent about the first 10 to 15, or 15 to 20 minutes doing a thing called fundamentals every practice. What this included was marching forward, marching backward, marching to the left, marching to the right, and doing that over and over and over again until you finally like, okay, let's practice doing a box. So then in one movement, you march forward, march to the left, march backwards, march to the right, march forward again. And then if you want to shake things up, you march forward, march to the right, march to the back, march to the left, and then you march forward again. Every practice. It even got so nitpicky, we would have to practice what we called the step-off. And the step-off is the first step you take when you march. So when you're starting a show, the step-off is the first step. So we got so nitpicky, we'd actually practice the step-off. And it was like you would get into form and you'd go, and one. And one. And one. And one. So you would do that over and over again, and you had to practice that until your step was perfect. And you had to practice in such a way, they actually called this motion the high mom. They call this step the high mom because when you're marching, your foot has to be so high that someone should be able to read high mom on the bottom of your shoe. Yeah, so we would have to practice that step, the forwards and backwards, all the stinking time for every practice from June until November. We were doing the fundamentals before every practice. So at the end of season one year, I remember we were going, it was getting close to state, I think it was the week of state, and we were doing our fundamentals again. We've done the show 100 times, and yeah, we're still doing the fundamentals. And I remember asking one of my band directors, we did our fundamentals, and we were heading to music warm-up. So music warm-up happened after fundamentals. We were walking to music warm-up, and I grabbed one of my band directors, and rather indignantly was saying, why are we still spending the 15 to 20 minutes doing fundamentals? That's time we could be using to perfect the show. We know how to march. We've done it for forever. We know how to move forward. Why aren't we perfecting our show? And he said something that I don't remember word for word what he said, but the paraphrase is this. You can't excel at the advanced stuff if you don't perfect the basics. And that's the premise of our new sermon series, Basecamp, Back to Basics. Though for this week, I'm sabotaging it and calling it Bandcamp, Back to Basics. Yeah. So for this week, Bandcamp, Back to Basics. And the premise is this. You can't do the advanced stuff for Christ if you don't perfect the basics. And what we're studying for this sermon series is a thing called spiritual disciplines. And very simple, a spiritual discipline is a habit that helps us get closer to Christ, but also closer to becoming like Christ. We do this, a habit. It's something you do every day to form a habit to get closer to who Jesus is in that relationship, but also to become more Christ-like, to be in his image. So we're studying the spiritual disciplines, and so there are three even basics of the basics. So this would be like the fundamentals of the fundamentals. Like this would be like tying your shoe before you take a step. These are the fundamentals of the fundamentals, and there's three things that I think are the basic of the basic when it comes to spiritual disciplines. The first one is reading your Bible. That's a duh. That's why it's basic. You're reading your Bible. The next one is prayer. And the third one, the last one, is worship. Really simple, worship is how we give Jesus the glory, the adoration, the reverence, and the thanks that Jesus deserves. That's worship, is giving Jesus the credit, giving him glory, giving him honor, giving him ourselves. That's how we worship Christ. I'm so passionate about worship that worship is even the fundamental of the fundamentals of the fundamentals. Before anything, there's worship. And worship if you don't have it in your everyday life, messes with you. It's that basic, that if you don't have a day without worship, it can really mess with who you are. And I'm so passionate about that that I wanted to show you how awkward it would be without worship on a Sunday. And so the praise team's gone. But then my creative team and I, when we were discussing the sermon, what was coming up, we realized, you know, worship isn't just the whole praise band aspect. There's a whole lot more on even just a Sunday of what worship is. For instance, communion. Communion's a form of worship. It's through memorial, but it's a part of worship, so we had to take that away. So as you notice, no worship led to no communion, which actually, by the way, we couldn't do communion anyway because the people who pass the trays, they're worshiping through service. So we have to take the service away because that's a form of worship if we're actually taking worship away from this Sunday. Following that, no offering. Offering is worship through giving, right? So we had to take that away. Also, the people who come in to make sure the lights are on, that the slides are going, and the sound is working, that's worship too. Well, this is awkward. It's a little weird to come to church and have no aspect of worship. And it's very easy to notice when there is a lack of worship, when it feels like this: silent, dark, empty. But here's the thing, more often than not, there isn't a lot of worship that actually takes place in this room. This is pretty much how the building looks Monday through Saturday. So in reality, this isn't that weird at all. This is actually the norm. It's only weird because it's Sunday. This room right now is a good illustration of what life looks like without worship. Monday through Saturday. Busy on Sunday, but nothing really going on for the rest of the week. Now you might say, but disembodied voice, this isn't how my life looks like every day. It's full of color and noise and insanity. Oh, so much insanity. You're right. Well, kind of. Sure, your life looks like it has a lot going on. You clearly aren't sitting in a dark building throughout the week. At least I hope you're not. But without worship, this is what your soul feels like. Instead of a dark, empty building, you're filling it with busyness. Whether it's work, or school, or sports. Or that video game system your wife says you've been playing too much. Even books, television, drama, noise, anything that can keep your life from having even the smallest moment of silence or peace. A busy life can make you feel like you're full, but on the inside, you are just like this building. Silent, dark, and empty. And when we feel empty, when we don't have worship in some way, because we naturally have an urge, a drive, a yearning to be close to Christ and to worship Him. We don't worship for ourselves. We don't worship primarily to feel moved, even though we do get warm emotions frequently when we worship God. We don't worship primarily to get something out of the service, though we often benefit from what happens when we gather with God's people for worship. We don't worship primarily for anything having to do with ourselves, though worship is one of the most meaningful and transformational things we do in life. If you worship for those things, you will still be just as silent, dark, and empty in this build that this building is, even on a Sunday. Psalm 47, 1 through 2 makes it clear. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all of the earth. The primary reason for our worship is centered in one simple word. For. We worship God, for God is who God is. We worship because of who God is and what God has done. Our worship is a response to God, to God's nature and activity in our lives. Worshiping God, worshiping Jesus, is ingrained in us. Look at John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus created everything. Nothing was made without Him. Now look at Colossians 1, 15 through 16. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether through thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is the creator of the universe. He's created massive planets and bigger stars. He's the creator of atoms and molecules. He's the creator of bacon. He's what gives us life. He's the reason we have life. Our souls crave Jesus because He created us. All things have been created through Him and for Him. We naturally crave to worship Jesus because we were created for Jesus. Not as His little toys, but for us to love Him. And when we don't worship Him, we become what this building is now because we are ignoring a part of our lives that nourishes us. A diet from fats and sugars helps you get healthier. A diet from Jesus will kill you. Look at it this way. If you have a printer that is not printing, it's broken. If you are created to bring worship to Christ and you're not worshiping Christ, you're broken. And that's for Christian and non-Christian alike. So what can we do? How do we apply worship to our everyday living? Look at Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Be in the Word. Teach others what you learn and encourage others to get better. But that doesn't have to just happen on a Sunday when someone is up on stage preaching at you. You can do this in your own time, in your own home, or even in a break at work. It's as simple as opening your Bible, picking out a section you're interested in, and reading it. Sing songs to Him. But that doesn't have to just happen on Sundays when someone is behind a piano or the praise team is leading. You can do that anywhere, while you're driving, while you're showering, while you're working. And the best part is, if you don't like your singing voice, you can even sing songs in your head so no one has to hear you, and you're always on key. Be grateful. There's a lot in this life that you simply can't or couldn't do on your own. Give Christ that credit. But that doesn't have to happen just on Sundays when someone is giving a communion meditation. You can be grateful and should be grateful to Jesus every day for what He has done for you. Another thing, and you hear this in almost every sermon all the time, you hear this all the time, it's to take out a section of your day and focus on Jesus. That's a good thing. I encourage you to do that. What I want you to understand is that you can also focus on Jesus during your day, while you are working, studying, driving, sporting, playing, anything. Again, Colossians 3:16-17. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When you're driving down the road, do it for Jesus. Listen to a worship CD while you're driving instead of getting angry at the government while listening to your talk show radio. Flipping burgers at McDonald's? Do it for Jesus. Now, this isn't like, you know, flip left for Jesus and flip right for Satan. This is an attitude thing. Are you flipping your best or are you flipping apathetically? Playing on the football team? Do it for Jesus. Helping someone out? Do it for Jesus. Play your video games. Play your games on multiplayer and encourage a group of people over your mic. We have been given this time in our lives to worship God with, no matter what you are filling your time with. We live in a busy time, always moving, perpetually in motion, doing tasks and getting distracted. We are so adequately named the human race, always running. But we do not have to be slaves to our busyness. If you live a busy life, use it. Of course, I want you to slow down. It's healthier for you and your family. It allows you to focus. But if you must be busy, use it to your advantage and worship Jesus in any craziness you are in during your Monday through Saturday. And that's what it ultimately comes down to. If you are just a Sunday worshiper, congratulations, you're part of a club. Worshiping Monday through Saturday, that's what really makes you a church. Yeah, it's true. You are more of a church outside of this building than you are in it. Jesus wants you all the time, at every time. It doesn't matter how fast or slow your life is going. And you can worship no matter how fast or slow your life is going. It's just a matter of giving yourself up. And that's what worship is truly all about. When you are giving yourself up and putting every aspect of your life into the hands of Christ, that is the true heart of worship. In the 1990s, in a church in England, the senior minister had the sound system, the band, all the lights removed for a few months to show what true worship really was. It's not about the flash, the flare, glitz or glamour, sound, lights. It all came down to you, the individual, and Christ. Now, the worship minister of this church, he described how weird it was at the beginning because all they had was voices, and he basically didn't have a job for a few months. But during those months, he did some real soul-searching as he actually began to question why he was leading worship. What were his motives? Is he doing this as a service? Or is he trying to make a name for himself as a worship minister? Is he pointing his worship to Jesus? Or is he just trying to make a spectacle of himself? And during those months, he wrote a song, a pretty well-known song. And when it came time to bring the band back, the sound, the lights, to bring everything back to normal, the worship leader, with having all of his resources back, the worship leader and the band stepped out and began to sing this song.